Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about the age of machines and how that's going to affect our healthcare. Oof. And you think technology is cool. Well, it is. It can be. But what's it going to do in healthcare? We're going to find out. Also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about some enemies of your health, and of course, we may even get to some barbecue topics, because, you know, summer's here, you dusted off all the lawn furniture, you cranking up the barbecue. Well, we're going to talk about that, if we have time. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting all of America up in prayer, and I'm praying for righteous leadership globally. I'm just, you know, so sick of all the, you know, police state stuff. Let's just get some common sense here. And so I'm praying for righteous leadership, men of, you know, wisdom and knowledge and, you know, godly things. And I was spending some time in Psalms. And in chapter 31, David, he just had a way with words. So let me encourage you all. It says, "Oh, to love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Those that are naughty, they won't get their reward. "And be of good courage, for he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." So don't lose that hope. Seek the Lord's face, mind the time, because the time grows short. He knows who you are if you're talking to him. Yeah, that's our relationship we're supposed to nurture, right? Spend some time with the Lord and find out what he wants. Find out the things he likes and doesn't like. And then live by that. Yep. Because, you know, the faithful will be preserved. And I want you to be one of them. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thank you, Frank. Moving around here. Let's see, what do we got? Gotta go to the UK. Apparently, the stroke is a big problem over there, like it is here. The number one thing for people over their 40 and 50th birthdays, apparently, is the topic of stroke, because those conditions are soaring, according to the Stroke Association over there in the UK. They said there's this trend, very sad trend, they said. The nation's health is being greatly affected. According to their data, the number of men of over 40, between 40 and 54, actually, in England, were hospitalized for having a stroke, and that number grew by 46%. And the figure for women in the same age group grew by 30%. Wow. So there's a real concern that weight gain, obesity, of course, and stroke could replace smoking as a major killer for adults over there. So the research is showing that being obese increases the chances of having a stroke related to a blood clot by about 64%. So they're saying, you know, people, please, you know, get a healthier lifestyle, get some regular exercise, and, you know, get that blood pressure down. Yep, you know what to do with regular exercise, and you know what to do with, you know, healthier eating. And if you need help with other things to get that blood pressure in check, you know, there are some medicinal herbs that can help you do that to strengthen the cardio, not weaken it. So choose wisely. All right, last but not least in the quack report, oh, goodness, going to Michigan, Nicole Roth. She's a student at the school called Baker College. It was in Flint, Michigan. She's suing because she was wrongfully dismissed from their nursing program after she had some concerns. She raised some concerns about the instruction to the nursing students that she felt was unethical and illegal in the curriculum. And when she brought those concerns to them, apparently they took action against her. So she's filed this lawsuit against the school. She says that she was close to graduating, and before they kicked her out, she said that she became the target of several of her teachers because she was questioning their methods when they were being instructed, she and her fellow students, about how they should coerce parents into vaccinating their children, which she said was a direct violation of the American Nursing Association Code of Ethics. Yeah, well, just because it's an ethical code, it's in writing, it's, you know, doesn't mean they're going to live by it. Same thing with statute code and federal law. All right, so the problems arose when when some of her instructors began dispensing this advice to go ahead and deceive the parents to get their kids vaccinated. She says that they were told to push the Tdap vaccine, which is the whooping cough vaccine, on parents who, get this, who are walking into the labor and delivery room floor. I mean, the baby's not even here yet, right? And so even though they said they know that the vaccine doesn't confer antibodies for up to 6 months, or possibly not at all, you know, she was questioning, why would you want to give that to a newborn when it's not, you know, it's not to be? you know, in the literature, in the instruction manuals. She was immediately silenced, she said. She asked, how could you promote this when we're giving families a false sense of security? Because they were told, you know, lie to the parents that, you know, the kid will never get whooping cough if you give him the shot right away. It doesn't work on the newborns. All right, so she says that she and her fellow nursing students were also instructed to push vaccine onto sick children, which is contradicted, not advised, violation of consent protocols even. And so she said, we were told to lie to parents about vaccine safety. Simple. And she voiced an objection to that instruction. So a couple weeks later, she was dismissed and on grounds that she was harassing her instructors. Because she had questions. So in her legal complaint, she says, or her attorney says, obtaining uninformed or false consent for a medical procedure under false pretenses is an assault and a battery under both criminal and civil law. Parents, are you taking note of that? So they went on to say in the complaint, obtaining uninformed or false consent for a medical procedure under false pretenses is violation of the American Nursing Association Code of Ethics for nurses. Obtaining uninformed or false consent for a medical procedure under these false pretenses is contrary to the practice of family-centered care and for gaining and securing the trust of the patients. Well, I'll say, you're lying to them. There goes all trust. Who can have a relationship then? Nobody. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about the age of machines, because that's what we have. Oh, goodness, it's everywhere, because, you know, being more efficient... it's okay. Being more cost-effective, that's okay too. And every business wants that for their bottom line. So the medical industry complex, no different, right? So the auto industry, you know, they started replacing human employees with robots in 1962. I didn't know it was that early when I started writing this, but I went, wow. But by 1980, and there were several robot generations later, the machines at General Motors were commonplace, and the robot industry was growing pretty rapidly. So, in fact, there was a new robot that was entering a new marketplace every month. So the machine takeover is apparent, and why wouldn't any industry jump to this long-term cost-saving option? So robots entering the marketplace, which have the potential of influencing life and death, well, that's an area of concern. So is modern healthcare moving in that direction to use machines and to replace 80% of what your doctor, your surgeon, your anesthesiologist, and what your dentist do? Yeah. So who was the guy that suggested, hey, let's take robots off the assembly line and put them in the exam room and the OR. Yeah. Let's take a look at what's ahead in the area of medicine. Because, you know, I'm going to jump out there and I'm just going to do a little palm reading because Fortune magazine did a study on this, a story, I should say, on what the future of healthcare might look like. So they are convinced that technology will only improve the healthcare experience and help physicians do their jobs better. So they don't think that RoboDoc will replace the human carbon physician just yet. Down the road, maybe, but not yet. And this is a quote from their article of December 2012. They said, healthcare today is often really the, quote, practice of medicine rather than the, quote, science of medicine, end of quote. Ah, so the thing here is that, you know, computers will make it more scientific. Well, let's look at the unethical standard of care, because there's a question. According to the Fortune magazine report, the University of Miami, Florida, they did a study in 2005 where they withheld aspirin or ibuprofen products from a group of patients that developed a fever. So under their experiment, the group that did not get these drugs when they got a fever had more successful recoveries and fewer deaths than the patients that were given these drugs. So the patients that did receive these medications had a temperature of 101.3 degrees or higher, and as directed by the standard treatment protocol, they got the drugs. So the trial had to be stopped by the team leaders, who felt that it was obviously unethical to follow, to allow patients to receive the standard treatment care. They found that, you know, hey, we were interfering with a fever, which is part of the immune system. Duh. You know? And patients did better when we let the fever run its course. That's right. For the secret to a fever and maximizing the health benefit is to keep it wet, keep hydrating. I've often said that here. You know, it's just part of your immune system. The higher the fever, the hotter you get. I know it's not comfortable, but it's your body's ability to burn off the virus and the bacteria. So it's killing it. And then you want to give it aspirin or ibuprofen to stop your fever? Well, then you're sicker longer, see? And in a lot of cases, the patients are so weak, they just die. All right, so my question is, will programmed robots, are they going to make a call like this team? They stopped the program because they felt it was unethical? You know, they said it's unethical to give patients drugs that stop their fevers because their fevers help them. So would a programmed robot make a call like that? Humans have, you know, hard time breaking habits or traditions, like, you know, dispensing aspirin for a fever. We've been doing that for 100 years. So how can we expect robots to stop a standardized treatment? They're programmed to give it. So experts in favor of more automation have no problem with the robots in medicine, practicing medicine, and they say, oh, that artificial intelligence, that's going to cover any program issue. Well, I don't know which would be worse, a robot that is programmed to follow instructions or one that can arbitrarily decide to change procedure. And, you know, and who's at risk? Who's liable? Because, you know, we all know that contract clauses are used to protect caregivers from liability lawsuits, but who do patients sue when they're under the care of a machine? Well, there are some pros and cons. There are always two sides of the issue. So we can cover the human error part, you know, practicing medicine, because concerns such as sleep deprivation and drug dependency and ethics and morals are part of the human condition, but we're told that this would not influence at all the robo-doctor, the robot. Well, there is that basic concept, though, that you can't have something that's created without having a creator. And the creator influences that which he created. Here's an example. There was a 1984 movie called Starman. Remember that? Do you remember that movie with Jeff Bridges? He played this alien. And he learned to drive a car by watching humans. So he was driving actress Karen Allen in this one scene where he ran a yellow light and she called him on it, right? And he replies to her, I watched you very carefully. Green light, go. Red light, stop. And yellow light, go very, very fast. Duh. So you see, the creator influences what he's created. So industry experts who are for more machines in the medical field point out that human error costs too many lives. Misdiagnosis is their primary argument. So machines are going to have, you know, I think some other obstacles to deal with, such as, you know, patients lying to them or not even remembering if they took their meds or facts and some things like that. So will machines be able to pick up on those subtleties, those little details? So in taking advantage of the difference, I suppose, you know, maybe the robot marketing firms, maybe they can produce an upgraded robot that has, quote, been around the block. Okay? Obviously, they would cost more. Just a little tongue-in-cheek there. Sure, robots can store tons of information, maybe over 5,000 research articles just on heart disease alone, and can recall over 10,000 possible human diseases. But the point is that with humans and healthcare, it is not only about data. There, where the data science area can assist physicians is by utilizing this information more quickly for them. But there is no substitute for experience and empathy. Also, the data we do have, a majority of it has been obtained through, you know, trial and error, where doctors tried things. And I doubt robots will be capable of deciding, you know, let's just try this based on, I don't know, a hunch. That's that human condition. You really just can't put a variable on. Well, let me tell you, if we get more robots taking doctors' places, you know, this is what docs won't be doing, okay? If our medical industry is going to go the robot route, if we're going to overhaul medicine with robots, the machines will pick up a whopping 80% of the current doctor obligations, such as diagnosis, tests, return office visits, writing prescriptions, assessing patient behavior, etc. So the robots will be outfitted with sensors and data collection, analytical assessment programs, and other capabilities to measure the patient complaint. And essentially the robots will take over the initial contact with patients and formalize a treatment plan. And we're also told that this will, you know, cut down on errors, overhead costs, etc. So the description that I just read to you is what a general practitioner does. So some experts are calling this the rebalancing of healthcare, saying that computers and machines are better at organizing, recalling, and handling complex information than the flesh and blood professionals. So they predict that the robots will replace, not only doctors, the machines will replace, you know, RNs, lab technicians, and others. They're all going to be replaced then. And that they're saying that robots will bring almost an immediate 50% improvement overall to the healthcare system. So yeah, they're going to start replacing people then, saving money, don't have payroll. Just need maintenance crew, you know, somebody to turn the wrench, help the robot out. So Lifecom conducted a clinical trial where the computer platform was 91% accurate at a diagnosis without having to run laboratory tests and other studies. But the question I ask is, what happened to the 9%? Would they have been properly diagnosed with the test? So what all this means is that the data science technology contribution to medicine may take over the triage, the diagnosis, and decision-making part of treatment. And that ultimately means we'll need fewer doctors. So robots will not be sitting in class and cramming for exams, so therefore, you know, the medical schools are going to be impacted. So and now we're told that eventually if there are any humans in healthcare, it will be for their caring personalities rather than for their diagnostic treatment abilities. So I guess bedside manner coming from a machine doesn't have the same, you know, it's just not deliverable. However, that's not going to stop the computer wizards from designing a bedside algorithm. But they may be able to build some humor into the machine program, but building trust relationships with healthcare providers are being taken out of the equation. Right? Let me read you this quote by Dr. Julio Mayol. He's a surgery professor at San Carlos Clinical Hospital in Madrid. He says this, "Data science has potential, but a great amount of information is not enough. the data collection should be able to lend machines or lead machines to accurate conclusions. Otherwise, we'll get very precise wrong conclusions. Well, he's right. Well, oh, yeah. My engineer is saying that if this goes on for generation and is this tech breakdown, we'll be left with, no trained healthcare professionals. I'm going to get to that, Frank. You're a little ahead of me here, but you got your thinking cap on. That's good. Well, let me get to the prediction part. Okay, so we're also hearing from the science division of healthcare that the technology is developing so quickly that many devices patients will be wearing will monitor them 24/7. So the technology sector of healthcare wants to predict the patient's future. So it is supposed to be a benefit to help prevent risk and negative events. But the machines will comb through decades worth of data in seconds to determine a patient's risk factor and health future. So based on predictions, patient treatment plans will be created and expected to be followed. So monitoring devices and medications will have built-in sensors to alert medical authorities if the patient has complied with the treatment protocol. So the question is, how will patients react to being diagnosed, treated, and monitored by a giant computer, supercomputer? Well, this is going to usher in a whole new era where artificial intelligence is perceived to be superior to humans. And will humans lose their ability to practice medicine while data science-driven technology takes over through the back door? Yep. So I can predict that less money spent paying doctors and nurses and other health professionals will allow for more capital to be spent elsewhere, but where that's spent is anyone's guess. Well, let me read you this quote by Greg Fairhearer. He's a medical consultant. He says this about this whole mess. He says, logic has the potential to make healthcare better, but only if resulting interpretations are applied by caring doctors and ones available in sufficient numbers to meet with and be part of patient lives. So if medical practices were reduced to algorithms, five-year survival rates, it would dictate treatment producing, a medical practice impenetrable ceiling, he says. So the concepts of fighting on and breaking the odds, faith, hope, prayer, he said, would be vanquished from medicine, and the human race would be much poorer for it, end of quote. Absolutely spot on there. Here's some other areas. Other areas where occupations are given over to computers are autopilot aircrafts, stock exchange algorithm trading, and the new self-driving car by Google. So what other areas will humans give up their involvement in and let computers take over? This quote by Dr. Elliot Siegel, he's an MD physician at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. He says, computers often make mistakes, and sometimes ones as seemingly obvious as knowing that Toronto is not a U.S. city. They didn't know that. The computer didn't know it wasn't a U.S. city. Uh-oh. Well, so each of us has the ability to care and look after our health. You know, that's a God-given right that is being replaced by licensed professionals and eventually technology. So the monitoring aspect of our current world lends itself to a long list of compliance issues. So the future will be what we allow it to be. So your healthcare choice today will determine what generations to come will be held to. So I want you to be bold. I want you to learn all you can to strengthen your body, your organs, your immune system, and you can do that with organic food, regular exercise, and medicinal herbs. Prescriptions weaken, foods and herbs strengthen. Keep that in mind. So if you'd like to learn more, call Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog on their herbal organ cleanses and immune-boosting formulas that will strengthen you. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. Or thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Gotta take a break. We'll be back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. here on Herb Talk Live, and we were just talking about, you know, the machines in healthcare, what's going to happen down the road. Dr. Kiosk is the least of our problems, apparently. And encouraging you all just to get proactive and not to be afraid, to be bold. And, you know, God's herbs are good. He says they're here for the service of man. They're here for the healing of the nations. And I tell you to learn as much as you can about that. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs really do educate their consumer, not only on their product line, but on the action of herbs. So you're not kind of like in the dark. You're learning what herbs do and specifically what a certain family of herbs will do for you. And so that's empowering in itself. It's knowledge. So if you would like a free product catalog, they'll send it to you free. Just look them up online at thepowerherbs.com. You can get there typing in herbtalklive.com, or you can call them at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. And, of course, the U.S. is probably one of the luckiest nations. There's 13 countries in the European Union, and they've lost over 1,400 of their herbs. They can't use them. They're prohibited over the last few years. So that's what the authorities over there are doing. They're just diminishing their access. So learn what you can now and do what you can, and that way you'll be empowered. And I love empowering people. Being self-sufficient and independent, you know? There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't hear from somebody that says, you know, I wish I didn't have to take these drugs every day. Well, yeah, you're a patient for life. There is no curing. When they can get money out of you as a patient, why would they cure you? All right. Let's talk about, where'd you go? We're going to skip to the barbecue thing. Yeah, because, you know, we just had Mother's Day. I hope you all had a great Mother's Day. I know I did. And, you know, people were, you know, having family over, having cookouts. The grills were rocking. And so people throw, you know, meat on the barbie. So let's talk about some of the meat out there, some of it that is going eco-friendly, as they say. GM animals. More are going to be in our future. Recently, scientific geniuses and authorities in the food industry have been busy recreating pork. Yeah, the Piggly Wiggly, as it were. The field of pork is changing with genetically modified animals, they say, which are approved for human consumption. So it's in your grocery store in some areas now. So the pork chops, the pepperoni on your pizza, your sausages could be GM meats. So you're expected to believe that these new pigs are better. Better for whom is my question. What was wrong with the original? It's not better for the consumer, I'll tell you that. The new pigs are supposedly better for the environment and for the pig industry, for global warming enthusiasts, that kind of thing. So why do we need GM pigs? They say that the original pig is too messy. It poops too much. It has too much phosphorus in its waste material. Well, you got these overcrowded pig farms, right? You're feeding the pigs, you know, pig food, pig chow, and they're not acting like normal pigs. And they don't get enough of the organic matter that they should get in their foods, and therefore they are going to have more phosphorus. So they're going to have more, you know, carbon emissions, just like cows. So what are GM pigs made from? And how is it going to affect our health? Let's find out. Let's see. So what are the scientists doing with the pork? Well, according to a Popular Science, the GM pig program from Canada was discontinued in 2012 because scientists took the DNA modification of pigs as far as they say they could. So at that point, millions of the research funding was pulled, and then they had 16 little pigs in their program, which they had to euthanize. So the GM pig has been kind of a brainchild of scientists at the University of Ontario, Canada, at University of Guelph, and they've been working on the GM pig since 1999. However, according to the former food industry analysts and now their food activist, Jonathan Landsman. His research team has picked back up on what they're creating, and they're calling it the Enviro Pig. So instead of truffles, the new pig may be enticed with a piece of cheese, because the scientists got out their big cauldron and they mixed E. coli bacteria with mouse DNA and then injected that into pregnant pigs, into their fetuses. Why? Well, they say, well, this is an irreversible genome alteration. So why would anyone do that to a pig? Well, they call it reinventing food sources and being able to patent them and charge you millions of dollars to consumers for the food. Just like pharmaceutical companies make millions on their patented drugs. So when they make the Enviro Pig, which is going to be better for consumers, they no longer is it defined really as all food. So the FDA has more, you know, control over it. So if it needs to be approved and there's patents involved, it's highly regulated. It's not organic. It's inorganic at that point. It's a non-food source. Now, of course, the consumer is made to believe that Enviro Pig is really for their benefit. That is how, you know, evil people sell you their perversion. They tell it's good for you, it's for your own good kind of thing. By the way, that's the behavior of a narcissist and a psychopath. So you have to wonder, really, how long it will take for these mentally ill people to reinvent water, right, and charge you a fortune for it. Poor California. You know, that could happen. So you could hear about it. You know, the planet's aquifers are drying up. Maybe they're contaminated. They have to reinvent water and bill you a lot of money for it. All right, let's look at what Canada is doing. Canada is it has become really the first country to sell the GM pork to the United States. The Enviro Pigs are approved for breeding. And the new pigs supposedly produce 50% less phosphorus in their waste material. We're told they have better digestion and they produce a better meat. So what this means to the pig farmers is they can cram more pigs together and not exceed the regulations on phosphorus emissions. So that's why. So the FDA is interested in the Enviro Pig if it is proven that the pigs require less feed, grow faster, and produce less waste material. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? You know, how can any animal grow faster and bigger when you feed it less? Right? Well, it's the growth hormones they're going to pump it full of, and God knows what else. So this really is ridiculous. It goes against nature. They're trying to reinvent something because of phosphorus, which they've created by their farming practices. It's insane. So what they've been doing is pig farmers will, the feed is corn, soy, grains, and that's what they feed the pigs. And pigs are supposed to eat grass, plants, leaves, vegetables, and fruits. That's what they're supposed to have in their digestive tract. No wonder they're bloated and gassy. You do the same to pets, you know, dogs, the same thing. They're not supposed to have grains. And that's the cheapest filler in dog chow is corn. So in Canada, the health authority there is called Health Canada. It does no independent research, simply relies on the reports from the scientists and the researchers. So in other words, there will be no independent testing on the GM pork for safety. The research is considered classified, so it's confidential business information, so it's hid from public view. Good luck trying to figure out what they are doing. So you have to be kind of a mole at the University of Guelph to see what the real research is and if anything is being covered up. Well, Jonathan proposed a good question. He says, if the pig is not pooping out well and he has more phosphorus than a normal pig would, then that phosphorus builds up in the pig's tissues, and that means that product would not be healthy for human consumption. If you get too much toxic phosphorus in the diet, it creates osteoporosis and can negatively affect the human metabolism. Ooh. So another unsavory fact is that GM pigs from the previous studies that they euthanized turned up an animal feed in the poultry industry without approval. So chickens tend to be foragers. They eat grains and berries and seeds and plant material and insects and maybe even some small reptiles. But they definitely don't eat pork. Then it makes you wonder if fowl becomes infected. And now we've got this whole, you know, bird flu problem. And, oh, and we may not have any turkeys for Thanksgiving because the turkey industry is affected as well. There you go. All right, so it is very likely that eventually the objection to GM pork will have to come from the consumer. Vote with your wallet, right? In the U.S. markets. Well, what if they don't label it? Well, then you want to go to a market that specializes in organic meats that don't have growth hormones, no antibiotics, that are not genetically modified. There's a few of them out there. You just have to find them. Yeah, you'll pay a few bucks more a pound, but I think your health is worth it, especially now with all this stuff going on and the healthcare industry being changed. You know, GM foods, not good. Not good for the planet. They say that's what it's supposed to be for, good for the planet to you know, get rid of starvation. It's not going to get rid of starvation. GM foods. You know, farmers are going to be persuaded, though, by government programs. Subsidies, another word for bribe, to go for the GM animals. The government will pay them to replace quality, organic, healthy farm animals with this GM hybrid. Yep. So it's going to be up to you to do your due diligence there. There are consumers that will have a difficult time, swallowing the GM pork, to pay the extra for the certified organically raised pork. I'm not a pork eater. I don't do pork, but I know a lot of people do. They put a lot of the ribs on the grills, you know, and they slather on all that barbecue sauce. Smells great, looks great, probably tastes great, but I'm just not a pork person. Okay? I'll do fish. I'll do some chicken. I'll do an occasional little bit of red meat occasionally, but not pork. Not going to do shellfish. Not going to do scavenger. Anything. So the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network is not in favor of the GM pork. They feel it is not only unnecessary, but it is a grotesque genetic experiment to cause consumer chaos. Ooh. So they reported that the researchers at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, have completed about all the requirements needed to push this GM pork really into the consumer marketplace full steam ahead without labeling it, without alerting consumers that their pork on the shelves is really GM, an altered product, independent of all safety tests. So in Canada, there are no current GM animal regulations at all, so that's probably why it's been launched there. But, of course, they can import it here once it's been, you know, in the marketplace. Had loophole. Can we say loophole? Okay, so animal husbandry, food industry, you know, this is the problem. When the industry ethics are manipulated and undermined, and you undermine animal genetics, you know, where is science really going to go with this? Well, I don't think they care about health or jobs or anything like that. It's all about science, research, and getting the funding for it. The University Science Department researchers admit that their job is really just to create and develop. What happens after that is not their problem. They are creating new food sources, saying that good intentions are behind it, and the governments are paying them to do it. But they are not the ones that regulate it. Their conscience is clear. Their hands are clean. That's their position. So they're saying the public has no power in creating and regulating processes, but I say the public has the final say. by not buying it or eating it. And then when in doubt, don't buy it. That's what I say. You know, put something else on the Barbie there. You know, find some, you know, organic meats. There's some fish. Put some fish up there that's been healthy, you know. Not harvested in the Pacific, preferably. Caring for your health has really become a battle, really, between, you know, the scientific drug companies and the nutrition organic realm. So the standard of care must have come accustomed to receiving, you know, the scientific medicine, you know, that's what we're accustomed to receiving, standard of care. But according to Dr. Ravi Campbell, virtually all the killing diseases are so lethal due to big medicine treating symptoms rather than preventing disease. So he says medicine has been the cause of our situation because medicine is focused on symptoms and creating a perpetual line of patients, an unending line of patients, to not curing their diseases, but just managing them. Well, it's getting out of hand. Management is about to blow up. So your health is your number one concern, but it's not your doctor's. See, that's the problem. If your doctor doesn't care, if science doesn't care, what do we do? Well, since the 1990s, more people tend to use more nutrition and natural therapies. They're using, you know, low-impact exercise routines, which I think are cool. And they're reducing their doctor office visits by 50% just by making some of those simple changes. So scientific modification of foods is there to corrupt nutrition in the food, not to stop starvation. So healthcare has really taken center stage, you know, some political issues. I think, you know, with the masses, this whole thing want to be managed by a central entity, that one world system, as people say. So do it yourself. Healthcare is going to be real important to learn. And I hope you all can learn some things out there. It is gaining momentum. So people are starting to think outside the box that, you know, they have more power than they thought they had. And, you know, healthcare has kind of come full circle, really. You know, in the beginning, there were herbs, and then medicine tapped into the chemicals and herbs, isolated them, made drugs. The drugs caused problems and side effects, and now they don't work. So then people are back to the herbs. Full circle. You know, so I believe what God said. They have healing power. They're here for the service of man. They're meat. You know, meat means power in biblical terms. There's a lot of protein, a lot of everything in a lot of these herbs, and they're perfectly balanced. The master chemist, our creator, has done the perfect job. There's no room for improvement there. It's just how you use them that's important, and it's a learning curve, I know, but you can learn it. You learned how to walk. You learned how to brush your teeth. You learned your ABCs and your mathematics, so you can learn this. It's not rocket science. It's just something you have to apply yourself to. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs will help you with that. So if you go to their website and download their catalog on their PDF format, you can see right there all the ingredients listed with each product, and they have counter-regulatory information. So you know that, okay, I'm a diabetic, and that means I can't use this herb product because it'll interfere with that medicine. So they're straight up with you. They let you know what's going on. They want you to make healthy decisions. Some people want to get off their medicines, and that's a personal decision. But if you're on a lot of these medicines that are lifelong, like diabetic medicines, heart medicines, things like that, it's not something you would want a cold turkey off of. So if you do some research on it, but if it were me and I wanted to get off such a medicine, I would do a gradual weaning process. So I'd find something that would strengthen that area that body needs help with. And so while I decrease the prescription, I would increase the alternative item. So it's like a seesaw. As one goes down, the other goes up. So I want something to support my system, and strengthen it, but not make it weak and independent, which is usually what your pharmaceutical drugs do. They just, you know, give you the illusion of health, right? There's no, like, you know, Dr. Campbell says, they've created this system and they've killed more people in America. Big medicine treats symptoms rather than preventing disease or curing it. That's not their goal. Their goal is to make money. Sick people means money. Healthy people means no money. That's their thinking. And I think people, if they just, you know, just come to that reality, they go, okay, so they're not for me, they're against me getting better. That's basically it. Mm-hmm. So I say people this way, if you're taking like blood pressure medicines, it's sort of like this. There's a building on fire. The fire alarm goes off and the fire truck rushes up. The firemen get off the truck. They rush into the burning building and they turn off the fire alarm. And then they come out, get on the truck and drive away. And of course the building burns down to the ground eventually. So what they just did is they turned off a symptom of a fire, which was the alarm, and they went on their way. And a lot of times that's what the drugs do. They manipulate and lower blood pressure numbers, but they don't really get at the underlying cause. So your blood pressure numbers are still there. They're just not making enough noise like the fire alarm once did. And eventually, guess what the building's going to do? Your body's going to break down. It's not going to be able to tolerate that for very long. And what we typically see is people on heart medicines, they move into, you know, coronary heart failure down the road. Yeah, they have issues down the road. So you could just, I guess the best book I could tell you to pick up is Shane Ellison's Over-the-Counter Natural Cures, because he talks about those major drugs like diabetic drugs and heart medicines, statin, beta blockers, all that stuff. And he tells you in a very simple terms is metabolically what those drugs really do long term to you. Not good. And he used to work for the pharmaceutical industry, so he's chemist. He knows that. And he had a moral conviction of his soul, and he got out of that area, thank goodness. And now he's a wellness expert for people, a voice for people, information help for people. He's known as the People's Chemist. And so he's been on the show here. So I encourage you to dig for truth. Get out there and empower yourself. Get some tools and some information, okay? And thepowerherbs.com can help you out. If you need to call for a catalog, do so at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That'll get you to the Apothecary Herbs product line. That's what you need, right? Yep, Apothecary Herbs, the difference you can feel. All right, I'm out of time, but we'll cover some more things next time on the show. Absolutely. Hope you have a good week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure a disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.